It's Saturday, September 1st, 2018, from Mount Vernon, Virginia. This is Literally This Week. Hello, this is Keith F. Sheldon, publisher of Astoria Media, here to bring you the Larry News for the beginning of the ninth month of 2018.
Sunday.
Top story from Bleeding Cool, Bill Jamas and Axel Alonso, talent hunting for new comics publisher. Bill Jamas is the ex-publisher of Marvel Comics, who helped pull the comics publisher out of bankruptcy, started the Ultimate Comics line, and co-writing Ultimate Spider-Man, started the Max line, and who also launched a large number of completely insane ideas that went nowhere. He was eventually victim to a power play by Marvel Studios' Avi Arad, after the extreme nature of the Fury Max comic book, written by Garth Ennis, lost Marvel Studios a movie starring George Clooney as Nick Fury. Since Marvel, he has been involved with a number of comic book startups, including the Take-Two Interactive as Double Take, initially meant to be a reworking of a number of their games into one comic universe continuity, until Jamas so annoyed some of the game's creators and so became a reworking of a Night of the Living Dead movie into a future superhero universe continuity, though it closed before he could get that far. Axel Alonso was also an editor at Marvel at the time, hired by Bill Jamas from DC Vertigo, and one of the attendees at the final Marvel-DC meeting over the future of the Comics Code, which Jamas staffed the Marvel side with all ex-DC staffers. Axel replaced Joe Quesada as editor-in-chief when Quesada was made Marvel CCO, and held that role for 7 years, but was let go by Marvel last year and replaced by C.B. Sibulski, though he did not go entirely quietly into that good night. Now Jamas has hired Alonso. Indeed, they have been working together for months. What happens now, Bleeding Cool has no idea, but phone calls have been made to major comic creators this past week, asking about people's availability, contract length, that sort of thing. Also in the news on Sunday from The Guardian, Miles Franklin, 2018, Michelle DeKretzer wins $60,000 award for second time. The Life to Come author says that even in tumultuous political times, literature has an important role to play. From the bookseller, Bola and Seifert among authors to receive SOA grants. Writers including J.J. Bola and Rachel Seifert have been awarded grants by the Society of Authors in its latest round of funding to support works in progress. From Under Consideration, Library to the Max, new logo identity for Library of Congress by Pentagram. And finally on Sunday, from Twitter, author creates bingo card containing every book review cliché. Parik O'Donnell compiled a searingly honest account of pretty much every cliché phrase used by book critics.
Monday.
Top story from Quartz, Barnes & Noble is so bad at hiring CEOs, the book world is crowdsourcing the hunt. The U.S. bookselling community has a suggestion for the next Barnes & Noble chief executive. What about a bookseller? BNN has a leadership problem. The U.S. book chain is looking for its fifth CEO in 6 years after it fired Demos Parnaris last month. In the job for less than a year and a half, he had little previous bookstore experience to speak of when he came on as chief operating officer in late 2016. The company has not provided details on Parnaris' firing for violations of the company's policies. To help Barnes & Noble get it right this time, Shelf Awareness, the bookstore industry newsletter, launched a poll this week asking for a vote on its picks for CEO candidates and for write-in suggestions. The poll, which has received 350 votes, was open until August 29th. Also in the news on Monday from Publishers Weekly, small shifts for Christian fiction. To counter some softness in the category, authors try new genres. From the New York Times, Neil Simon, Broadway Master of Comedy, is dead at 91. Neil Simon, the playwright whose name was synonymous with Broadway comedy and commercial success in the theater for decades, and who helped redefine popular American humor with an emphasis on the frictions of urban living and the agonizing conflicts of family intimacy, died on Sunday in Manhattan. From the AP, U.S. Appeals Court Chicago revives lawsuit on books in jail. An appeals court has breathed life back into a lawsuit alleging policies at Cook County Jail in Illinois that limit the number of books inmates can have at a time violates their First Amendment rights. And finally on Monday, from the millions, what do they want from us on the return of big bookstore chains? Bookstores have become cultural Rorschach tests. After the past decade or so, you've either been traumatized by watching your favorite store go dark, or you're fine with the coffee and craft cocktails now served alongside exquisitely curated books. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by
This and other podcasts of the AS21 Podcast Network are sponsored by Audible. Sign up today at audibletrial.com/AS21 and get your first month of Audible for free. Choose from over 180,000 titles for that first audiobook you download, and you keep it forever. I just read Jane Austen's Northanger Abbey this past week while I've been bouncing back and forth with Canterbury Tales. Boy, that's a long read. Up next for me is John Feinstein's Where Nobody Knows Your Name, The Story of Minor League Baseball. So you never know what you might find while going on Audible. Over 180,000 titles to choose from. You may be surprised. There may be something there that's right up your alley. And when you're listening to audiobooks, that means you can do a lot of reading at a time. A couple weeks ago, I did 5 books in 1 week. It helped that some of the books were very short, but still. So check out Audible today. Sign up for your first month for free. Get that first audiobook for free. And take your reading with you. That's audibletrial.com/AS21.
Tuesday.
Top story from DigiDay. BuzzFeed News quietly tests a membership program. BuzzFeed News is working with Google to pilot a membership model that will ask readers to contribute to the news outlet. Similar to The Guardian, which has had success soliciting donations from readers, BuzzFeed News is adding messaging to pages that solicit small donations of $5 to $100. The initial benefits will be updates on big investigations and new video programming. There's no member-only content for now. If the program is successful, BuzzFeed News hopes to add perks that will come on top of its news content that will remain free. BuzzFeed News, like The Guardian, has staunchly adhered to the idea of being part of the free and open web, but like many news organizations, it's eager to capitalize on people's growing willingness to pay for quality news, as seen by the growth of digital subscriptions and memberships to The New York Times, The Washington Post, The Atlantic, and others. BuzzFeed News says it's working on a membership program as part of the Google News Initiative, a broad suite of programs the tech giant announced earlier this year, and that initially started in March with letting people subscribe on Google to paywall publishers with a two-click process. Google helped BuzzFeed with tech and market research. It's unclear if Google is planning to expand its subscription program to accommodate publishers that have reader donation or membership programs. Also in the news on Tuesday from the AOA Office for Intellectual Freedom, Dear Banned Author Letter Writing Campaign. During Banned Books Week at September 23rd to 28th, readers are encouraged to write to their favorite banned or challenged authors, sharing what their story has meant to them. The goal of the campaign is to not only raise awareness of books that are threatened with censorship and support authors, but also encourage thoughtful discussions about the power of words and how essential it is to have access to a variety of viewpoints in libraries. Does anybody have George Orwell's email address? From the bookseller, Amazon staff employed to defend company on Twitter. A group of Amazon employees in the U.S. is being paid to promote the company on Twitter. From The Guardian, is social media influencing book cover design? With bookstagramming becoming a force in marketing, are designers making covers more colorful, bolder, and cleaner to stand out on our screens? From the International Federation of Library Associations, Getting Started, New IFLA Guide on Making the Marrakesh Treaty Real. The Marrakesh Treaty has already had a major impact on copyright legislation, removing legal barriers to making and sharing copies of books in accessible formats, but to ensure that people with print disabilities benefit from genuinely equal access, implementation is key. A new IFLA guide helps libraries take this final step and make the promise of Marrakesh real. And finally, on Tuesday from LitHub, how a background in human rights reporting shaped my novel. Time and memory, news and rumor began to bleed into each other.
Wednesday.
Top story. Following up on a story from earlier in the week, Parnera sues BNN for defamation of character. In a lawsuit filed August 28th in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York, former Barnes & Noble CEO Demos Parneros has charged the retailer with breach of contract and defamation of character. The suit contains numerous unflattering revelations about the inner workings of BNN and includes the bombshell news that a deal to sell the company to another book retailer fell through in June. Parneros was abruptly fired from BNN on July 3rd for unspecified violations of company policy. He was let go without severance. In his suit, Parneros claims that the nature of his firing, coupled with the current employment environment, left the public to assume he was guilty of sexual harassment. He denies, however, that this was the case. Claims of Parneros' suit indicate that his relationship with BNN chairman Len Riggio began to sour after an unnamed book retailer withdrew its offer to buy the company in June. According to the complaint, the retailer withdrew its offer after completing due diligence. Following the collapse of the deal, Riggio, according to Panera's complaint, felt he no longer had a graceful exit from the company. Riggio also believed, per the complaint, that the only way BNN could survive is if he stayed on and ran the company. After the deal fell through, Riggio became hostile to Parneros, the complaint states, adding that after the deal fell through, Riggio stopped communicating with Parneros and began giving direct orders to other members of BNN's executive team. Also in the news on Wednesday from The Hill, according to President Trump, Google is suppressing conservative voices, hiding good news and information. President Trump on Tuesday morning accused Google of suppressing voices of conservatives and rigging its search engine to amplify liberal media outlets. From the bookseller, BookBug Prize 2018 shortlist revealed the title's contention for the prize, which is for picture books by Scottish authors and illustrators and supported by Brown's Books for Students, are Eric Makes a Splash by Emily McKenzie, One Button Benny by Alan Wyndham, illustrated by Chloe Halwell Hunter, and I Am Bat by Morag Hood. From the Library University of Oregon, defacement of a Knight Library mural, an act that would be viewed as an understandable protest by some and inexcusable vandalism by others, occurred in the University of Oregon's Knight Library this week as an unknown person smeared red paint across the words racial heritage in the Knight Library's mural, Mission of a University. And finally, on Wednesday from LitHub, this wanting business on the cost and labor of writing, just how expensive can the writing life be?
Thursday.
Top story from Book Riot, the Alternative Nobel Prize in Literature shortlist is here. The new Academy has announced the Alternative Nobel Prize in Literature shortlist for 2018. The shortlist is the result of a global online voting campaign where people from all over the world could vote for 47 international authors nominated by Swedish librarians. Based on the voting results, the 47 nominated authors have been reduced to 4 finalists. These finalists are Haruki Murakami from Japan, Kim Tai from Canada, Maurice Conde from France, Guadeloupe, and Neil Gaiman from the United Kingdom. The winner will be chosen by a jury of 4 and will be announced on October 12th. The award will be handed out on December 9th. The following day, the New Academy intends to dissolve. The New Academy is a nonprofit organization that formed in the wake of the scandal that has rocked the Swedish Academy and which resulted in the postponement of a 2018 Nobel Prize in Literature. The New Academy is not affiliated with either the Nobel Foundation or the Swedish Academy. Also in the news on Thursday from the bookseller, ex-Netflix exec and producer launched database for book adaptations. A U.S. producer and former Netflix executive are embarking on a joint venture, TaleFlick, which offers a library of searchable books for adaptation across film, TV, and digital media. From People in China, That's China's Bookshelf helped spread Chinese stories along the Belt and Road. A bookshelf called That's China's Bookshelf, laden with nearly 1,000 books filled with stories from China, captivated local readers in Bangkok, Thailand on July 26, according to People's Daily Overseas Edition. From The Guardian, is the future female fixing sci-fi's women problem? When sci-fi fan Molly Flatt was asked to write a story about women in the future, she re-examined her relationship with the male-dominated genre and why she remained immune to the Scully effect. From InfoDocket, research article, Gender and International Diversity Improves Equity in Peer Review. The robustness of scholarly peer review has been challenged by evidence of disparities in publication outcomes based on authors' gender and nationality. To address this, the researchers examined the peer review outcomes of 23,873 initial submissions and 7,192 full submissions that were submitted to the biosciences journal eLife between 2012 and 2017. And finally, on Thursday, from LitHub, when the government tried and failed to come for a Japanese-American journalist, from the late James Omura's memoir of internment and repression. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
This podcast is brought to you by PhotoLemur. PhotoLemur is the fastest and easiest way to instantly make all your photos great automatically. From now on, you can spend more time taking photos and less time editing them. PhotoLemur has 12 smart technologies to help it to automatically analyze and adjust your photos. From faces and objects to colors, horizons, and the sky, it understands it all and works its tech magic from there. For a limited time offer, the PhotoLemur family license plus awesome bonuses is just $39.99. That's a 65% savings. So click on the link in the show notes below or go to our website, audio.as21.com, and click on the link there and sign up for PhotoLemur today.
Friday.
Top story from The Guardian. Han Gong to bury next book for almost 100 years in Norwegian forest. The world's most secretive library, currently housed only in the minds of its authors and containing books that would not be read for almost a century, has added a new writer to its glittering list of contributors, the award-winning South Korean novelist Han Gong. Han, winner of the Man Booker International Prize for her novel The Vegetarian, was named on Friday as the fifth writer to be selected for the Scottish artist Katie Pearson's future library project. Started in 2014, Peterson has asked writer Year to contribute a book to her public artwork. Riffing on themes of imagination and time, each work has been seen only by its author and will be printed in 2114, when a patch of 1,000 Norwegian spruce trees planted in 2014 in the forest that surrounds Oslo will be cut down to provide the paper for the text. Other authors who have contributed a book to the Future Library are Margaret Atwood, David Mitchell, Turkish novelist Elif Shafak, and Iceland's Sjón. Patterson said the project was a living, breathing, organic artwork unfolding over 100 years. Also in the news on Friday from the bookseller, Boyne and Purcell pitted against four debuts on Glass Bell shortlist. The six-strong shortlist for the £2,000 prize is dominated by new writers and could see Gail Honeyman adding to her string of successes after she was nominated for a breakout bestseller, Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine. She's vying for the cash prize and pursuing Grave Glass Bell, along with American author Nathan Hill for The Nix, Imran Mahmood for the legal thriller You Don't Know Me, Ali Land for a tale of psychological suspense, Good Me, Bad Me, John Boyne for his Irish sweeping odyssey, The Heart's Invisible Furies, and historical fiction author Laura Purcell for her much-lauded thriller, The Silent Companions. From the Electronic Freedom Foundation, California bill is a win for access to scientific research. Under AB 2192, which passed both houses unanimously, all peer-reviewed scientific research funded by the state of California will be made available to the public no later than 1 year after publication. This is similar on the books in California right now, but it only applies to research funded by the Department of Public Health, and it's set to expire in 2020. From abc.net out of Australia, the quest to find William Shakespeare's library. For 400 years, academics, bibliophiles, and cartographers have been searching for the answer. This enduring literary enigma feeds into the question of Shakespeare's authorship, the argument that someone else wrote his plays. And finally, on Friday, from Bustle, a breakdown of By the Book column shows that male authors are four times more likely to recommend books by men than by women. Someone finally examined how often male authors recommend books by women, and the numbers are pretty depressing. Using the New York Times By the Book column, which asks authors about the specific books on their nightstands, UC Berkeley assistant professor David Bamman's analysis shows that male authors recommend books by other men four times as often as they recommend books by women. I highly recommend anything written by Sarah Vowell. Hidden Figures by Margolee Shetterly is one of the best books that I've read, and two words, Jane Austen. Need I say more?
Saturday.
Top story from the Moscow Times. Khodorkovsky pulls funding on news outlet after three Russian journalists killed. Exiled oligarch Mikhail Khodorkovsky announced he would no longer fund the TSUR investigative news site following the murder of three Russian television journalists while on assignment for the publication in the Central African Republic. Orkhan Dzemel, Alexander Rostogiev, and Kirill Radchenko were investigating the private military Wagner group for Khodorkovsky-financed TCUR when they were killed in an ambush last month. Advocates from Reporters Without Borders raised concern that the journalist's reporting could have motivated the attack. Khodorkovsky said he had reason to believe that the group was the victim of a planned operation, but added that the outlet's production team was partially at fault for the tragic outcome of the reporting trip over errors in choosing a local fixer. Also in the news on Saturday from the bookseller, Audible UK revenue soars 45%. Audible UK grew its revenue by 45% last year to cover £97 million and posted its first operating profit to date of almost £2 million. From the Library of Congress, Library announces winners of 2018 Literacy Awards, Top Honors Award to Reading is Fundamental, Eastside Community School, and Instituto Pedagogica para Problemas de Language. From Global Voices, in Mozambique, new licensing fees have raised the cost of doing journalism and may threaten media freedom. Approved by the Mozambican government on July 23rd, the new fee structure was introduced with a legal decree setting fee rates for media accreditation that will affect news outlets and foreign correspondents and could be especially painful for those with small budgets. From Haaretz, Israel Public Radio sparks uproar after playing Wagner despite boycott. Several complaints were made to the station following the broadcast, which was cut short. Wagner's music is not usually aired on Israeli radio and television because he was anti-Semitic and considered Hitler's favorite composer. And finally, on Saturday, closing out the week, from the CBC, calling all writers, the CBC Short Story Prize is now open. The 2019 CBC Short Story Prize is now open for submissions. Canadian writers can submit original, unpublished short stories until October 31st. Your story can be up to 2,500 words in length, a change from previous years. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor with the bestseller list from Fiona the Computer.
This episode is sponsored by...
Come on, come on, get your tickets for the stage play adaptation of Interlude to Sentimental Me. The groundbreaking poetry by A.S. Tornin creative Michael B. Judkins is now a stage play coming to the stage at the Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania on September 15th and 22nd for a 3 p.m. show. Tickets start at $15 for discounts for children and seniors. Plus, there's a special VIP option for just $75. You get two tickets for either of the performances, plus dinner after the show. You may have loved Michael's poetry and been able to watch some of the videos of it on the ASTorian YouTube channel. Now you can see the stage play adapted from his work, partially funded through an Indiegogo campaign run last summer. So check out the Interlude to Sentimental Me stage play at the Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Find the links on Eventbrite or go to as21.com/creative/Judkins and click on the link there.
Hello, this is Fiona the AOS21 computer. Here's the New York Times bestseller list. Sales for the week ending the 25th of August. Combined print and ebook fiction number 1, Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan. Number 2, Pieces of Her by Karen Slaughter. Hardcover fiction number 1, Texas Ranger by James Patterson and Andrew Burrell. Number 2, The President is Missing by Bill Clinton and James Patterson. Paperback trade fiction number 1, Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan. Number 2, China Rich Girlfriend by Kevin Kwan. Combined print and ebook nonfiction number 1, Educated by Tara Westover. Number 2, Unhinged by Omarosa Manigault Newman. Hardcover nonfiction number 1, Unhinged by Omarosa Manigault Newman. Number 2, The Russia Hoax by Greg Jarrett. Paperback nonfiction number 1, Grit by Angela Duckworth. Number 2, Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari. Young adult hardcover number 1, The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas. Number 2, Children of Blood and Bone by Tommy Adeyemi. And to the Amazon charts for the week starting the 26th of August. The most sold books on Amazon are fiction number 1, Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan. Number 2, The Hunt for Red October by Tom Clancy. Nonfiction number 1, Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis. Number 2, Educated by Tara Westover. Looks like Kevin Kwan is taking over and welcome to the list, Omarosa. Sorry, I can't call you by your last name without feeling like I'm quoting Seinfeld. Now back to Keith for the Home Report.
Thank you, Fiona, and now for the Home Report. This past week, we extended our deadline to submit for the 2018 AS21 Annual. Writers and other contributors now have until September 15th to submit their poetry, short stories, artwork, and more. Visit as21.com/annual for more information, and yes, we fixed the link, so go on and submit today. AS21 Audio has renewed its call for listener feedback. You can still fill out surveys for the AS21 podcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, and visit surveys.as21.com, and you'll be awarded with 21% off at the AS21 market and entered for a chance to win a $25 Visa gift card. But also, take a moment to click over to iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, or whatever podcast service you're listening to, and leave us a review. Good or bad, these reviews help us reach a wider audience and can also help us as we develop new programming and sponsorship opportunities. Like what we're doing? Leave 5 stars and a short review. Not so much? Leave however many stars you feel are appropriate, but then tell us why in the review. We appreciate any and all feedback on our podcast series. As I mentioned before, submissions are still open for the 2018 AS21 Annual, but also we want to encourage you to not only get out there and vote, but make sure you're registered to vote. September 25th is National Voter Registration Day. We'll be hosting an online live stream on our Periscope feed and YouTube, sharing great stories of past voters. Just visit nationalvoterregistrationday.org and find out the rules to register to vote in your state. We have the midterm elections coming up first week of November, and it's your chance to have your say on electing 435 members of the House of Representatives here in the United States, and up to a third of the United States Senate. Let your voice be heard. If you're over the age of 18, you are most likely eligible to vote. So if you're already registered, great, get out and vote. If you're not or aren't sure, visit nationalvoterregistrationday.org and check your voter registration status with your state. Do it today. Don't get left out in the cold. Decisions are made by those who show up. Tickets are on sale for the stage production of Interlude to Sentimental Me by Michael B. Judkins. The play will be September 15th and 22nd at the Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem, PA. Tickets start at $15 with discounts for children and seniors, plus a special VIP author. Check on the link on Michael Judkins' page at as21.com/creative/Judkins. On Wednesday, the latest episode of Two Girls, One Joint was released as Eileen takes over Drusilla's Bumble account and shares do's and don'ts for online dating. Find Two Girls, One Joint monthly on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. In the week ahead, we'll announce the AS21 bestseller for the month of August. To find out early, sign up for the weekly email at as21.com or facebook.com/as21. The World's Only Podcast is delayed a week due to the Labor Day holiday here in the United States. Find it next Monday on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. Friday, the next chapter of the publishing podcast will be released as Paul Rana and I continue to update you on the editing of The Will of the Magi. Find Publish Me on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. Reminder, this month's events at Walls and Books are canceled, including Literary Game Night due to the nuptials of store owner Pablo Sierra and manager Karen Coca. Congratulations, Pablo and Karen. As always, be on the lookout for other AS21 podcasts and video series throughout the week by following us on Twitter at AS21 or on Facebook, facebook.com/AS21. Is there any news story we missed? Be sure to reach out to us on Twitter at AS21 or email us pub@AS21.com. If you'd like to support this or other podcasts in the AS21 podcast series, you can buy an ad through AdvertiseCast. Just go to AdvertiseCast.AS21 and find reasonable rates for all of our series. Or you can become a patron of the AS21 Podcast Network by going to Patreon, patreon.com/AS21. Get access to a members-only blog and special podcast episodes. We're trying to raise money to keep the Passion on the Page poetry podcast going, so hope we kindle the patch and get us to $8 a month. Thank you for listening to the Literary This Week podcast. Find us each week on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, and our home on the web, audio.as21.com. I'm your host, Keith F. Shevlin. Thank you for listening, and keep reading as the world keeps turning. Copyright 2017, AS21 Media, LLC. All rights reserved. AS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?